following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, I'm going to share something tonight. I wasn't going to share this till Sunday. And on the way over here, the Holy Ghost whispered to me to share it tonight. This is actually my Sunday sermon, so it's going to be short. But you never know. I might be able to ad-lib a little bit between the verses. You never know. You ready? You ready for the verse? Listen, Deuteronomy 29:29. Got a Bible? Junior, you got a Bible? What if I turn to this? Deuteronomy 29:29. This is really a cool revelation. The Lord gave this to me this week. I was just praying one night, and the Holy Spirit began to just speak these things to me. I said, "Ooh, that is so cool. I got to put that together as a sermon." And Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. How many of y'all have seen that verse before? Anybody? Believe it or not, that's a pretty popular verse. The secret things belong to God, but to us, those things which are revealed. In other words, what he's saying is God has a lot of secrets, but he really wants to reveal them to us. The secret of the Lord, Psalm 25 says, he makes known the secret of the Lord to them who are covenanted with him. There's many, many passages about talk about the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 31 talks about hidden in the secret of his presence. Christ talked about when you give tithes and alms, go into the secret place, your closet, that your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. There's a secret of the Lord, and the Lord wants to reveal his secrets to those that will seek. Now, if you look at, here's another kind of a classic label. You got Deuteronomy 29:29. How about Daniel 2:22? Daniel 2:22. These are easy to remember verses. God wants to reveal, and I believe the secret things of the Lord are for those who seek them. In fact, in Proverbs 25, it says, it's the glory of God, the king to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of man to find it out. Let me see if I... Yeah, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, the honor of kings to search out a matter, Proverbs 25:2. So God likes to hide things. Isaiah 45 talks about, am I not the Lord that hides? The Lord is hidden. It's interesting. The Lord is the biggest thing beyond the universe, and yet he's totally hidden. I mean, the universe itself is a speck, and there's God, and yet he's hidden to the eye. Job speaks about that, that there's a veil over all those. Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 25, talks about the day he'll rip the veil away, and men will see. First Corinthians 13 says, and then we will see as we're seen. We'll know as we're known. Now we see through a glass darkly. But God wants to reveal his secrets. First Corinthians 2 talks about eye is not seen, ear is not heard. You remember that verse? Not enter the heart of man. But the next verse says, but God's revealed them to us by his Spirit. God wants to show us the secrets of the kingdom. Now look at Daniel 2:22. He reveals the deep and what? Come on, Daniel 2:22. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. What's interesting, there are secrets of the Lord. And what I find fascinating is the secret things of the kingdom of God, the secret things of the supernatural, the things of life are really, really, really simple. You know, it's really simple. And that's why so many people miss it. People are religious spirits, intellectualites, theologian types. People are delving and trying to intellectually find where I would submit the greatest secrets of the Lord are found in those that are humble and childlike. In fact, if you look at Luke 10, I believe it is, verse 21, Luke 10:21. This is when the disciples came back rejoicing that the devils, demons responded and came out of people when they told them to in the name of Jesus. And Luke 10:21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent and you revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, seemed good in your sight. It's in the wisdom of God that the greatest, most significant, profound truths of the Spirit are grasped by babes and children. And yet the intellectual see it not. And that reminds me, turn to 1 Corinthians 2. You know this verse, I'm sure. Verse 25. 1 Corinthians 1, 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. How about not many wise men after the flesh, mighty or noble are called? He's saying, He said, look around your congregation right now. You see any nobility? You see any people of great estate? High lineage? Kingly rapport? Lots of wealth? Well, in some churches in America, yeah, but a real church where they really passionately love Jesus, most of those folks, unfortunately, it's hard for them to enter the kingdom of God. Did you know that wealth makes it hard to enter the kingdom of God? Am I speaking blasphemous thoughts here? Somebody said, well, no, you don't understand, Chris. Jesus came to give us our best life now and to cause us to be prosperous in all of our ways. I don't know about that, but Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easy for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. We've all heard that. And it blew the disciples away because some rich guy came to Jesus, said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus turned to him with a big smile and said, say this prayer after me. And he led him in a sinner's prayer and accepted him as his personal Lord and Savior and said, now go and invest wisely. Is that what he said? But that you'd think what he said based upon the gospel today. Now look at this. For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, base things of the world. In other words, okay, look around. Who is in your congregation? Fools, base people, clumsy people, low-life scum, people that have demons, sinners, blue-collar, low-life. No, there was a comma between that. Blue collar is not low life. No collar. To bring to naught things that are. I love this. Look at this. Chapter 3, verse 18. I love this verse. I have a buddy of mine. When I first got saved in the 71, he told me this verse saved him. Rich Pace. I talked to him. I met him in 1971. I talked to him 2 months ago. Known him all those years. And I remember him telling me once, this verse saved him. This is 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become what? That he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. See, it's topsy-turvy. You got to lose your life to find it. You know, it's so sad. Jesus said, he that will love his life will lose it. Do you know what the name of Victoria Osteen's new book is? Love Your Life. You know what Jesus said? If you love your life, you'll lose it. I thought, do these people not even read the Bible? Why would you name a Christian book Love Your Life? Jesus said, if a man will love his... Anyway, whatever. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, hello? Do they not even read their Bible? I mean, Jesus... Whatever. I just... I mean, it's right there. Maybe that's what it says at the end. You'll lose it. No. Okay, I'm losing it. The reprobation of this stuff out there. Man, I've just lost all kind of listeners on the web. They are right now jerking the Cat 5 cable out of their desktop computer in anger at what I just said. They used to sling the CD out. Oh, I know. They're throwing their iPod out the window. All right. Are y'all ready for the sermon title tonight? Are you ready for the sermon title? Here's the sermon title. You ready? The Secret to Healing, Freedom, and Day-to-Day Joy. That's the title. The Secret to Healing, Freedom, and Day-to-Day Joy. I actually have a secret I'm going to reveal tonight. Behind this curtain, I promise you, I have a secret I'm going to reveal tonight. Y'all ready? Psalm 31. This is the secret. Listen, there is one fundamental secret to healing. How many of y'all need to be healed? Freedom? How many of y'all need some freedom in your life? Day-to-day joy. How many of y'all could use freedom and joy in your life other than misery? Folks, there's one fundamental secret. And I'm going to show you tonight. Psalm 31:9. Let me set the stage for this to build it up to show you the secret. The psalmist says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with my grief. My soul and my belly, my life is spent with grief. My years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed." I would submit this psalmist here is in a pretty bad place. He's talking about grief. It's manifesting in his eyesight, in his emotions, in his stomach and digestive system, in his belly. His life is grieving. His years have caught up in misery and depression and heaviness. And his bones, he's eaten up with all kinds of diseases. And he sums up why in verse 10, because of what? My sin. It's sin. Now, I would submit that the fundamental problem is sin. Is that sound theology? Sin. Sin. You know, this woman we talked about earlier that, you know, hasn't forgiven for 50 years and yet is absolutely eaten up with diseases and sicknesses. Folks, the sin of bitterness has destroyed her physically. Sin reaps. You reap sin. The reaping of sin, it first reaps spiritually. When one indulges in sin, it begins to cloud the relationship with God. Then, if not dealt with, it manifests in the soul, in the emotions, in the feelings, in the intellect, and ultimately hit the body. Hello, I'm talking here, personal deal right here. It'll hit your body. It'll manifest in your body. Latent curses of the family line will manifest. Whatever the sin is. Family line sin, generational curse sin, personal sin. If not dealt with, sin, what is it? The wages of sin is what? Do not err, my beloved brethren, he says in James 1 about sin. In fact, let's look at that. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err. You know, lust is the grandfather of death. Lust conceives. Did you know lust has babies? It's sin. And sin brings death. So we see the psalmist in a miserable, tormented place, emotionally and physically, and really depicts many people today. Amen? And the problem, he tells us, is my iniquity. It's his sin. Now, there's a secret I'm going to talk about, the secret to healing and freedom and day-to-day joy. And I want to lay out a premise today. You ready? So many people, you ready for this, are sick and bound and miserable. And you know why? Because of the people, places, and things that drive them nuts, rob their peace, and cause them aggravation. Let me say that again. So many people, so many believers today, are sick and bound and miserable. Just every day. Because of the people, the places, and the things that drive them nuts, rob their peace, and cause them much aggravation. And you say, why? Why are so many believers miserable day to day and sick, bound with day to day misery instead of healing, freedom, and day to day joy? Why are so many people miserable because of people, places, and things that cause all this grief? Well, I would submit more times than not, it's because of iniquity. It's because of sin. Didn't we just see that in Psalm 31? It was because of my iniquity. It boils down to sin. And the one thing the enemy does not want us to see is the problem is sin. You know, it's interesting. Most preachers don't talk about sin anymore. And certainly in therapeutic situations, they don't talk about sin, but mistakes and failures and failings. All these terms. I want to say sin. So the truth is, I want you to hear this. The reason people are so miserable because of so much stuff is because they're reaping the consequence of their sin. Sin reaps. You reap sin. When there's sin in your life, you're going to reap the consequence. Can I add? Y'all agree? It's just an inviolable reality of truth. If there's sin in your life, you're going to reap the consequence. It's going to reap, like we saw in Psalm 31, in your soul, your emotions, in your body, in your physical attributes, in your relationship. Sin is going to bear bad fruit. And undealt with, you're miserable. You're aggravated. Now, I would submit, there's a secret I want to point out tonight, and this is the revelation of the secret. The reason that people, places, and things drive you nuts, rob you peace, and cause you aggravation, you ready? Is because when you were growing up, people, places, and things drove you nuts, robbed your peace and caused you aggravation then, and you responded then in, with, and through sin. The reason today people, places, and things drive you nuts, cause you aggravation, so difficult, is because in your past, people, places, and things drove you nuts, robbed you peace, caused you aggravation, and the way you responded to it was in, with, and through sin. You didn't respond correctly. You dishonored your parents. You bucked your parents. You spoke evil of mom and dad. You lied. You cheated. You stole. This is whether you're saved or not. You betrayed. You gossiped. You slandered. You sowed discord. You mocked. These are sins of our youth. And it's interesting in the Psalms, I was doing it, there's a word study about the sins of my youth. I think it's Psalm 77. I talk about it in my bones because of the sins of my youth. A lot of it is, let me tell you something. A lot of us have a whole lot of sin from our youth. And, you know, we want to move into blame. And psychology, that's the devil of psychology. The devil of psychology is to blame. Well, the problem is you had abusive parents, abusive this, abusive that. You were dysfunctional. All that's true. But if you responded to that in sin, guess what? You sinned. And until you come to terms with your sin, you will spend a lifetime blaming, judging, rationalizing, justifying, excusing, and never, ever getting free. Because you got to own your sin to get free. You got to direct it to moi. And everything, particularly psychology, the lie of psychology that's crept in most all therapeutic counseling today, is somehow it's somebody else's fault. Now, you ready? Remember the secret. There's a secret tonight. It's a secret, and it's simple. It's so simple. It's so cool. This is so powerful. So God looks down at you and I, and he sees, here we are, you know, adults, and we're struggling with people, places, and things that drive us nuts, rob our peace, and cause us aggravation. And we're miserable, and we're not having healing, and we're not experiencing day-to-day joy, and we're certainly in bondage. So God, in his mercy, recognizes the reason we're that way is because of people, places, and things from our youth or our younger time or past in our life that aggravated us, caused us grief. That we responded in sin. We judged, we got bitter, we resented, we didn't forgive. Well, whatever we did. And so God, in his mercy, wants to set us free. So what God does is he doesn't want us to lay on a couch and go and regurgitate and go and visualize and go in the past somehow and deal with the past through some psychic means. That's not God. Now, I'm not saying there may not be times the Holy Ghost will quicken something to you through a memory loop that you need to deal with. I'm talking about what is God doing now in your life today to set you free from all the sin of the past. Here's the secret. In his infinite care, he wants to reverse all the curses. He wants to break all the patterns. He wants to open the prison doors of the reaping consequence of your life. Many of us are reaping today. We're reaping. Jerry McGee, when she first came here years ago, really introduced us to some depth understanding of that. You know, the consequences of the way you related to your parents and how you reap that in your present-day relationship. So here's what. Here's the key. The secret of the Lord, the enemy doesn't want you to know. There is a secret. The secret of the Lord belongs to the Lord our God, to those that are revealed, and he reveals the secret things. There is a secret to get free. It is a fundamental secret. It is a fundamental truth that will set you free. And I would submit it's the one thing Satan works more times to keep you from recognizing and walking in. And I'm going to prove it to you. Turn to Psalm 91. I'll prove to you that Satan absolutely doesn't want you to see this truth. Because if you see this fundamental truth, guys, you will get free. I really believe Christianity boils down to one or two fundamental truths. This is one of the functional, foundational, bedrock truths of Christianity. If you embrace this, hang on to this, you will win. You will free. You will walk in day-to-day joy. You will be healed. You will be delivered. This one fundamental truth. And Satan and the demons do all they can to blind you from this. And I'm going to prove it to you. Psalm 91, verse 11. This is just a verse where the psalmist was talking about some of the things the Lord does to protect his people when they, the condition, they hide up under his covering. But Psalm 91:11 says, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Let's read that again. For God will give his angels charge over you. Isn't that a good promise? They encamp round about you. To keep you in all of your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now I want you to keep your finger there and look at Luke chapter 4. Keep your finger in Psalm 91. Luke 4. Now Luke 4 is a description of what occurred to Jesus when he was fasting for 40 days, was in the wilderness. And if we recall, the devil, Satan, came to him and tempted him three separate times. There's a whole teaching about that. One was to turn rock into bread. Another was to, bow down and worship him. And the third temptation in Luke 4, we see in verse 9, and Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Jesus was in the spirit realm. Okay? He was actually traveling spiritually. So he's standing on the pinnacle. He didn't climb up there. Okay. He was up there in the spirit. And so Satan said, if you're the Son of God, cast you down from thence. Cast yourself down from thence. This is really the greatest temptation of all, is presuming on his relationship with his Father. But you know, it's interesting. The previous temptations, when Satan came at Jesus, he quoted scriptures at Satan. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, Get thee behind me, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, no, that was here. So Satan pulls a scripture out, verse 10. And he happens to quote what we just read in Psalm 91. Isn't that wild? Satan is quoting a psalm. Let's read it. Verse 10. For it is written, Jesus! Listen, you can cast yourself down from this pinnacle. You don't have to worry about it, because there's a promise in the Old Testament. In fact, it's written, Jesus, in Psalm 91, that God will give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in your hands they'll bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Satan quoted the scripture to get Jesus to do what he wanted to tempt him to do. Now, most people, a cursory reading of this, without careful study, would not notice a significant thing. If you look very carefully, let's turn back to Psalm 91, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Luke 4:10. He shall give his angels charge of you to keep you. And in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. What did Satan leave out? This is incredible. Satan left out a couple of words. Why? Right, but why? Now there's a revelation here. Folks, I'm telling you, this is one of the most significant foundational secrets of life. And this is such a clear teaching. Why did Satan leave out certain words when he quoted this verse? Why would he leave out the phrase, in all thy ways? What difference would that make? Why would he not? And I would submit, I've known about this, gosh, I think most of us have probably heard this revelation when you're young in the Lord. I've known about this for decades. It's a powerful revelation. I think Satan absolutely refuses to admit the omnipresence of God. Satan refuses to admit that God is everywhere all the time in all things. He refuses to admit that. He's trying to pull God at his level because he ain't everywhere all the place. And when Satan admits the omnipresence of God, it's one thing, the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, that's the all-powerful, all-knowing, but the omnipresence of God, that's something Satan cannot admit, that God fills heaven and earth. And Satan will not admit, you ready? Will not admit that God can and has the capacity and will keep you in all of your ways. See, that's the promise. That God can, has the capacity, and will keep you in all. By the way, I looked up the word all. You know what it meant? All of your way. Now, let me tell you something. Extrapolate this backwards, and you can come up with the greatest lie Satan puts in people's minds. The greatest lie and deception he puts in people's minds all the time ties into this. You know what he says? Well, in this situation in your life, God's mad. God's not here. God's not involved. God's frustrated. God can't redeem this. God won't redeem this. He is saying, I will not recognize the omniscience of the omnipresence of God, the ability to keep in every capacity, because my greatest lie is to persuade people that in this situation, you blew it, God's not going to come through. He's not going to be here for you. Am I making sense tonight? Come on, nod your head. That helps me know your way. Let's go back over this before I show you the secret. The teaching tonight is the secret to healing, freedom, and day-to-day joy. The problem is, here's the problem. Most people every day are aggravated with people, places, and things that drive them nuts, rob their peace, and cause them aggravation. What they don't realize is they're reaping. It's all, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. God's not mocked. Whatever you put in the balance, the just weight and balance is the Lord's. The way life is, it's full circle. You are reaping your own choices from the past. And it's the consequence of sin. Sin has to be paid. The promise, either sin is going to be atoned for or it's going to be reaped. Either sin's going to be under the blood or it's going to be reaped. Period. If sin was not repented and turned from, it will be reaping in your life. And so many people, the real source of most of their misery and problems and situations is nothing but the consequence of sin. That poor woman we talked to the other day, covered with probably 100 warts, from her nose to her neck, covered with warts. It's covered with warts. Horrible disease. I don't know anything about her, but I realize she's filled with bitterness. That poor woman, it manifests on the outside. Sin. We reap sin. So God, in His great mercy, because He loves us and doesn't want us to go to hell, allows situations, people, places, and things to come into our life that drive us nuts, that cause us aggravation, that rob our peace, because He wants to reverse the curse, break the patterns, and set you free. Because now He's giving you a second chance. See, when you were young, and maybe your dad slapped you, and you cursed him under your breath, because your dad shouldn't slap. He should have used a rod. But he slapped you and you cursed him. And for 40 years, you had this thing with authority. Can't hold a job down. You've had or you're in a relationship, or maybe you're a woman and you can't submit to your husband. Maybe you're a man, you can't have a hold a good job. You're bitter. You're a sneak. It all goes back to when daddy slapped you and you cursed one time. Man, I've been in enough deliverance sessions. We find out. We go back to them. I mean, that becomes evident. And they have to, because of this reality of what they're going through. But you know what's interesting? If your dad slapped you and you're reaping, you know, right now there are people that are slapping you. Listen to me. Right now there are people slapping you. Verbally. Emotionally. Maybe not physically. You're being slapped. You're being disregarded. You're being spurned. You're being rejected right now in your life. And why? Why is God allowed? And people get bitter, and they don't understand why God's got something. Because God's trying to give you a second chance. 40 years ago, you got slapped and you're cursed. God's trying to teach you now. You're getting slapped verbally. Can you bless those that curse you? Can you pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you? Can you turn the other cheek? See, He's given you God, His grace and His Spirit to undo the past. The way you're going to get free is not so good through some counseling. It's just to, in the, what's in front of you right now, love unconditionally. Do the gospel. Because if you love what's in front of you, you know, I was thinking of an old, it's a terrible analogy. But who was it? If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Who was that? Stephen Stills. It's a terrible, but you know, it's almost like I was thinking, remember that song from the 60s? But it's almost like he's saying, it's really kind of a heinous psalm. But the idea is, do what's in front of you now. The situation that's right here now is the key to unlocking your past. Because you can go to psychology sessions and deliverance sessions and get all kind of demons cast out. And if it had to do with a cursing of an authority or you know, some kind of action, and you're not in the present day relationships and people, places, and things doing the right thing, you ain't going to get free, because God's allowing it to happen today to heal you from yesterday. Now, you say, how does that tie in? Here's the secret. The last verse we're going to look at, Proverbs 3:6. This is what Satan does not want you to know. This is what he went to extremes of, leaving it out of a verse. And you know what's funny? It's usually one of the first verses a Christian learns. I don't know why that is. Every believer I've ever met, they seem to learn this first. And it's like God saying, You really need to learn this because this is the most fundamental one you're ever going to need. Proverbs 3:6, you there? How does it start out? In all thy ways? What was it Jesus left? Satan left out? So I would submit Proverbs 3:6 is a powerful secret verse. It's in this verse. Frankly, if you don't remember any other verse in Proverbs, remember this one. Because this is the verse that undermines the greatest lie of Satan. In all thy ways, acknowledge who? God. And he'll direct your paths. So many people acknowledge the devil. They've got misery and torment. They've got people, places, and things that aggravate them and rob their peace. And they're out rebuking the devil and fighting the devil. Well, I would submit the devil may be involved in some of it. But you better get right with God, because the devil can't do nothing, but he gets a stamp triplicate from the Father. Hello? Have you ever read Job? Are y'all getting what I'm saying tonight? In all your ways, acknowledge him. God is the one that's allowing the people, places, and things that drive you nuts, that cause you aggravation, rob you peace. God's allowing it. Why? Because people, places, and things in your past, you blew it, you got in sin, and you've been reaping 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And God's trying to get you to obey and do the right thing here. And guess what? When you do it here, you'll be healed from there. Years ago, the Lord gave me a picture in the spirit realm in deliverance of the way deliverance works. And it was called the fence post analogy. Who has not heard my fence post analogy? Some of you. Years ago, the Lord showed me this. He said, deliverance is like a fence post. Now, if you have a fence post and you need to get it out of the ground. And we actually had to once at the Elaine house. When I first bought the house, we had a whole fence, line of fences we need to pull out. There used to be a pen area for some livestock, the Pasadena Rodeo. And if you've got a fence post, do you go to the fence post and just go pull it straight out? No. Well, if it's wet, and if it's shallow, and if it's little, but if it's been down there a while, if it's relatively deep, you're not going to be able to pull it straight out for friction, if nothing else. So what do you do if you've got to pull something out? Do you not work it? You kind of push it this way and push it. You're working it. What are you doing? By moving what you see, you're affecting what you don't see. Now, the Lord was showing me this about the fallacy of psychology. And the whole notion of going into the past to somehow heal the past. Look, the past is frozen. All you're dealing with is the consequences of the past. What's in front of you, you have to deal with. As you deal with it, guess what? It's liberating what's down there. See? As you move what's in your hand, what's down there is getting free. And one day you're going to be able to pull, and what's down there will be liberated because you dealt with what's in your hand. Do you see the analogy? What's going on in your life right now? And it's almost like, do you really want to know what sins you are reaping from your past? Simple. Look at the people, places, and things in your life right now that drive you nuts, that cause you aggravation and rob you peace. Those are gifts from God. They got big red bows, and they're for gifts from God to try to get you to finally not respond from sin, but to love your neighbor as yourself, to turn the other cheek, to bless those that curse you, to lay down your life, to lose your life, to be obedient, to be mature, to be perfect, to be sons and daughters of God, to grow up. And when you finally overcome in what you see, you're delivered from what you don't see. And guess what's the irony of it is? Then the people, place, or thing ceases to drive you nuts. It ceases to cause you aggravation. And where there was sickness, you begin to get healed. And that's what breaks loose the anointing for healing. Is when people finally embrace Proverbs 3:6. And all thy ways acknowledge you. Folks, if you see what I'm saying tonight, or if you don't see, this is what's going to happen. This is the secret. It's something that Satan doesn't want you to see. I proved that in Scripture. Right? Psalm 91, Luke 4, Proverbs 3. I proved it. If you see this and respond accordingly and go from this point on saying, Lord, I acknowledge you in all of my ways and everything that drives me nuts, robs my peace, or causes me aggravation, I'm going to acknowledge you. Help me, Jesus, to do the right thing and not respond like I have all my life from the patterns that got me into this mess. Help me to do the gospel, to love my neighbor, to turn the other cheek, to bless those that curse me, to bear suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. If you choose to do that, then you will be freedom. You will find freedom. You're ready in, not necessarily from, but in everything that drives you nuts. It won't overcome you anymore. You'll have long-term view. You'll see the horizon, and you'll find freedom from the tyranny of reaping. You will break the reaping pattern. And this poor woman, for instance, you talked about tonight, ironically, you shared about a woman who's bitter for 50 years, and she's full of sickness. She's got a reaping pattern in 50 years because she's never acknowledged the Lord. And I bet if I sat down and talked to this woman about the last 50 years and got her to write out all of her relationships, we would find, it was your mom she's resentful towards, right? We would find all those years there were people like your mom that always were in her life. People, places, things, always. God was decade after decade trying to get her to break, giving her people that would, but she, instead of recognizing and acknowledging the Lord, saying, okay, God's put this person, she makes me mad just like Kelly's mom, but thank you, Jesus. I acknowledge you. You're trying to break me of my pride. I'm going to love this one and pass the exam where I failed it every other time. She would be free and healed and delivered. But instead, as so often, she got bitter. Because this is the lie of the devil, to not acknowledge the Lord. Do you understand? Isn't that amazing? That's why he left it out. He doesn't want you to acknowledge the omniscience of God. The omnipotence or the omnipresence. Guys, God fills every tiny speck of every tiny, not even cell, but atom. God is involved in our lives in a way we cannot fathom. You cannot, Psalm 139 says, you can't going forward, looking up, down, round. There's not a word in my tongue. He knows it. In fact, he knows our thoughts afar off. Certainly, he can orchestrate in all the ways acknowledge. If you see this and respond accordingly, you'll be free from the tyranny of reaping. Healing, freedom, and day-to-day joy will increasingly come in your life. If you don't see this, if you don't get what I'm saying and you fall into the trap of the lie of the devil and you don't acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and you stay in the justification, rationality, blame mode, the reason for my life is because of such and such and so and him and that, when present, past, or future, then you will resent the things in your life. You will reap hardship, curses, sickness, and misery. You'll continue in the reaping pattern of past choices and you'll be stuck spiritually. That's where you are. We have a choice. It's a secret. It's interesting. The secrets belong to the Lord our God, but to those that are revealed to us. And he says the Lord reveals, Daniel 2:22, the secrets. God wants us, guys, to be wise. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus. Oshitakaramos. You know, I just want to lead us in a prayer, because sometimes, I'm going to tell you something, the greatest deliverance, it's just to get the truth in our noggin. Just to get the truth in there. It's the truth that sets you free. And there isn't a person in this room, the devil's not been working on you, that in this situation, God's not omnipresent. It's not God. It's so-and-so and such. It's not God, because if you acknowledge it was God and you love God, you would submit to God. But if he can persuade you it's not God, then you're justified to resent and harden and not respond accordingly. That is the lie of Lucifer. His key lie. Lord, come with wisdom. You said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask him. We ask right now for wisdom. We're not ignorant of his devices, lest he should get advantage over us, Lord. And I'm afraid so many believers, the enemy has so much advantage because they're ignorant of one of his main devices is to indict the omnipresence of God, that God is in charge. Nothing is up from under his sway and rule. And everything that comes at us, we're to acknowledge him and trust him and to give thanks to him and ask him for the grace to respond and not react, so that we can be free from the tyranny of the past. The tyranny of our own bad choices. We made the bed. We ultimately don't have to lie in it. Hallelujah. We can take up our bed and walk. Amen. That's a good one. We're all lame in the bed we made in, aren't we? Paralyzed. And Jesus comes and says, take up your bed and walk. You don't have to lie in the bed you made. Jesus. Come with revelation truth tonight. Let it percolate down past the lies of the devil. I tell you what, the demons, I'm exposing demons. They work years building a case in your mind that in this place, person, or thing, this is an exception. God is not behind this. So you need to get in the soulless realm and deal with it accordingly. And folks, if you've believed that and responded, then you are miserable, you are sick, you are in bondage, you are demonized, and you're stuck. So say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for buying the lie that you're not sovereign, that everything comes from the hand of God, good and evil. Forgive me for not acknowledging you in all my ways and believing the lie of the devil that I have to operate from my own strength, my own wisdom or soul in responding to life. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life under your authority. Let come what may, change me. Teach me to love. Turn the other cheek. Bless and forgive. Grow up. Deliver me from the tyranny of my past choices, my sins, my iniquities and transgressions, my wrongs that I'm reaping to this day. Forgive me for blindness, short-sightedness. Open my eyes to see that you are Lord and you love me. And if I'll just by faith do the gospel, I'll find freedom from the tyranny of the past. And you'll open up the things of the future and liberate me. And I walk in freedom and healing and the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Amen. Let's give thanks. Let's just give thanks. Come on. Let's just give thanks, Lord. Ola shandoro koti de malanda neman. Lordi makita la manda neman. Lordi kidi andala koti de mashandala makan. Jesus. Lordi kari molanda de makan. Ola mikita la makan. Come on, man. Come on. Give thanks to the Lord in the Spirit. Give thanks. God has given you some truth tonight. Ola keti shi tatara koro beyandarama. Come on, man. Ole ande demo. Hey, alania. Mole. Come, Lord, seal the truth in our spirits tonight. Lo ba lo be yalebo eni alon. L'animo eni malenyeri. O ni ale nalamo. Lo malo, miri alo, yano. Jesus. Oh, liberate us, Lord. Open our eyes to see the truth that sets the captives free. Now, what I want to do now is I want to speak a blessing over everyone here of what Psalm 91 is, not Luke 4. I speak a blessing, Lord, that you would give your angels charge over us. Lord, to keep us in all of our ways. You said you encamp, the angel of the Lord encamp around about us. Father, I pray the angels would keep us in all of our ways, that our foot would not stumble. Lord, you put angels in our homes, Lord, and angels in our automobiles, in our workplaces, Lord, here at the church, Lord, where we travel, we go in, we go out. Lord, you put angels in the context of every relationship, Lord, when we go out in the world, Lord, you give us angelic proddings, Lord, to be sensitive to the needs of those around us, to reach out, to pray, to minister the gospel, Lord, to pray for the sick. Lord, I pray for the angelic covering over this church in the name of, I pray for all those that are not here this weekend or tonight, Lord, those that are sick, those that are traveling, Lord, those various things, Lord, we pray for angelic protection, Lord, for those that have been visiting, Lord, and interested in the work, Lord, we pray for angelic protection over all of us to fend off the powers of darkness. I just speak a blessing over all of us, and everybody said, amen, amen, God bless you, go in peace, see you Sunday.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.